Welcome to the Rehab Your Life podcast. I am your host, Karen Malone, and I am a certified rehabilitation counselor dedicated to helping you rehab your life. Each week, I will be interviewing people to talk about how they have overcome struggles, and I will also share valuable information about a topic that will help you to move forward in your journey. I will also share tools and resources and any nuggets that I have found along the way. I will be challenging you to change your perspective, because when you change your thinking, you can change your life. This episode is sponsored by my book, Lose to Win. It's all about my journey as a believer going through the hardest times of my life, the loss of my child, battling cancer twice, and much more. I share tangible tips on how I managed to keep my sanity through it all. It's available on Amazon.com. I hope that you pick up a copy today. Hey guys, thank you so much for returning to another episode of the Rehab Your Life podcast. This is episode number 24, and my guest today is Parker Gilkison. Hi, Parker. Thank you so much for joining me. It's been a minute since we have seen each other. You know, I'm going to be transparent and tell my audience, I used to babysit you.
Yes.
To see her grown and doing the damn thing is such a blessing.
Thank you.
So where are you at right now?
So right now I'm in Baltimore, Maryland. I live in Baltimore, but still work in DC.
Okay. And let my audience know who you work for.
Yeah. So I work for a nonprofit organization in DC. It's a national advocacy organization centered on policy. So we advocate for folks with low income around policy areas like immigration, income and work supports, or childcare. Also job security, different things of that nature.
Okay, awesome. I love that you are kind of in the advocacy field. That's similar area with me being a rehab counselor, so that all kind of wrap around. So with the podcast, we always send out the questions in advance so that people can prepare to share their story. And so I sent you those. So we have three primary questions that are more specific to any health issues or challenges you've had to overcome. And then the next one I call my seven powerful questions, because I try to really just get down to the nitty gritty. So the first question is, what type of challenges have you had to overcome?
Yes. Yeah, so I will say one of the major challenges I had to overcome health-wise was when I had blood clots in my lungs. Oh, my goodness. That was definitely a difficult time for so many reasons. I was young. I was probably about 21. So when it happened, I was still an undergrad at Howard University. And I just happened, I think I was on my way to buy furniture for my first apartment. My first apartment
adulting.
And I remember spraying some perfume. I will never forget this. And it's like I smelled the scent of the perfume, and it's like something hit my chest. And immediately I was like, oh my God, am I having a heart attack? You know, what is happening right now? I had all this anxiety rushing, and I'm like, you know what? You know, being a young and dumb college student, I'm like, I'm gonna just go to sleep. I'm like, I'm just taking a nap. So I get in the bed and I'm trying to go to sleep and trying to take a nap. And it's like something in my spirit is like, get up and go to the hospital. And I'm like, hospital? Oh my gosh, I do not like going to the hospital. So ended up going, and it was just crazy there. They didn't want to listen to me. You know, I'm thinking I'm having a heart attack genuinely. And they're like, oh no, you're too young. You're probably just high. Go have a seat. I'm like, no, I'm not. Wrong, you know? And so that was a major challenge for me, just because a great friend of mine that I grew up with had passed away from blood clots 6 months before me.
Wow. So that was definitely scary.
definitely scary, right? Then on top of that, and that was one of, you know, my very best friends growing up, my brother and I's very best friend, my twin brother.
Yes, James.
Both. So yes, that was traumatic. And then,
and it's so funny. I don't mean to cut you off, but it's so funny how much y'all look just like your parents. Like you and James look like a mini version of your mom and dad.
Yes, we do. It's amazing. There's an old picture of them together when they were in college, and it literally looks like me and James.
Oh wow. Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Looks like us now.
Yeah. Funny.
Yes. So crazy
time. How did you handle that as a young adult? You were away at school, parents not around, you know, anytime a young person has a medical scare, you immediately, mom, dad, you know,
them quickly. Well, my dad, thankfully for him, he really was a part of saving my life, because when they weren't listening to me, of course I called my daddy and my mama, and he's had a heart attack before. So the symptoms that I was having, he was like, oh no, something is really wrong. He was like, you know, yelling at them, telling me to put him on speaker, and yelling at the people at the hospital, like, if y'all do not get my daughter seen now, I will own this hospital. And literally they started moving quicker and started helping me. And so my mom and my grandmother ended up flying out to me the next day. I really needed the support. That was my first time staying in a hospital by myself. One of my friends ended up staying the night with me, and they fought me. They had the whole hospital administration come to talk to me that no one could spend the night with me. I'm like, this is my first time staying in a hospital, and they're telling me I could possibly die. Yeah, somebody's going to stay the night with me.
Right.
Like, what? No.
You were advocating even back then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You had to advocate for yourself.
I'm having someone stay the night with me. I don't. And the lady in the room with me, you know, thankful for her, she was an older Black woman, and she was like, please let her, she obviously is scared, allow her to have someone to stay with her. And they finally let my friend stay with me. And it was a difficult time for me, just because I was very active at that time. I was working out with a friend of mine all the time, and we would, you know, work out, run, sometimes jump, do all these things. To go from that to when I was in the hospital, walking to the bathroom felt like I had just ran a marathon. I couldn't get out of breath. You know, it was a mental toll on me to be that young and to realize that my body can no longer do, for this, you know, temporary amount of time, what it used to be able to do.
Right. And so that transition, you know, obviously can cause people to go into depression. You know, how have those challenges, so you're saying it was kind of short term, or is this still something that you have to deal with? Has it fully impacted your life where you've had to modify some things?
I definitely have. So I will say that I'm always constantly watching out for symptoms. Thankfully, I don't have to be on blood thinners for a lifetime. The blood clots are brought on by a birth control that I was on. No birth control ever again for the rest of life. So that's one thing that
that's cramping your style a little bit in the early
20s. Not right now. Nothing's happening. So that's marriage. So we're good over here until then. So, yeah. No cramped style. But I will say it helped me to embrace life more, and embrace the abilities of my body. I didn't take them for granted before, but now I definitely look at life a lot differently. I'm always trying to maintain some type of health. So I went to my doctor the other day, my primary care, and she's like, "Yeah, you're really in great health." I was like, "Thank you." Yes, like, people don't know that's a great thing when you're young. You're like, oh, obviously, but for me, that hasn't always been the case, right? So that's something that I'm hallelujah.
Health is wealth. That's the new wealth these days.
Yes,
man. So what effect do you feel like it had on, like, your family and friends? Are people being a little bit more, you know, be more cautious, or, you know, anything like that?
Absolutely. I would feel like my friends, because a lot of them, my college friends, were there with me. So if anything, if I'm like breathing a little short of breath or anything, they're like, do you need to go? What's going on? Do
we right.
I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm all right. If I'm having allergies or something, they're looking like, are you okay? Mm-hmm. For my family, I'm grateful that with my father, he's had some health challenges. So with him, he always was telling us, if you feel something, go to the hospital. Don't wait around. Don't sit around. Go to the hospital. And he's always taught us also how to advocate for ourselves. So we have been there with him, where my mom, anytime he has to go in for a procedure or anything, she's there the entire time, right? She's asking questions. She's making sure that she writes down everything that the doctor is saying. Mm-hmm. If she has any questions, she's calling my aunt, who's the nurse. Back and forth. Is this correct? Is this what you're doing? So that's just continued on with me. I ask a lot of questions of my doctors. I ask a lot of questions. And I also, too, advocate for having doctors of color. All of my doctors are Black women. And I specifically did that on purpose to make sure that I'm heard and listened to, because I've experienced in the past not having that.
Right, right. Awesome. So those are the top three questions. So let's roll into the seven powerful questions. So the first one is, are you a spiritual person?
Absolutely.
And, you know, not everyone is. So I always try to quantify it that way.
Yes, absolutely. I am. Yes, I am completely and totally a spiritual person. I talk to God. He talks to me. And that's how I lead my life. And he has led me completely in the right direction. I can say that.
How old are you at this point?
27.
Okay. So, you know, it's a rarity, though, to find a young woman at your age that really is sold out to, you know, to God. So, can you elaborate a little bit more on kind of just, do you have any spiritual practices that you do on a regular basis that maybe you can share with some of my younger audience?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I would say I grew up in the church, but strayed as usual, you know, church hurt, experiencing things, seeing that I'm like, okay, the Bible says this and you're doing that, or the Bible says this, but I don't. So when I got to college, and experienced some life of my own and experienced a few hardships, that brought me, I would say, back to God in a way that I can understand him myself.
For yourself.
Yeah. So started reading for myself, started seeking and understanding more for myself and understanding more of who Jesus really was and who God was outside of legalism, right? Mm-hmm. Who God was outside of necessarily the law, understanding that Jesus satiated that. So who is God and who is he here for me? How can we have a personal relationship? How can I actually hear from God? Because that is a thing. I didn't know that coming up. I just thought you read the word and you try to interpret it for yourself, but not realizing that the kingdom of God and the relationship with God is something that you have to diligently seek.
Yes.
And build upon. Listening to a pastor talking about your skirt too short, that wasn't really doing it for me, because, you know, I'm going to wear a short skirt every now and again.
Right, so, right.
I don't know. Did Jesus have a problem with that? Let me know.
So
you know, looking for myself. And I will say that that relationship has guided me through a lot of difficult times and also through a lot of times of getting and receiving and going after things that I never thought that I would be able to, but just listening to God saying you can and going forward anyway. Yes, that's what I would say. So my relationship with God has been about really an experience and a relationship more than rules and boundaries that he gives us rules and boundaries, but God, you know, what, not even what's the difference between what's right and what's wrong, but what's right for me. For some people, what's right for them or what's necessarily in the word, it gets deeper than that, right? So that's something where my relationship is and my spirituality.
Awesome. Look at you. I'm going to get off that question because we could talk on that one for a while.
Right.
So Question number two, how would you answer the question of the week? And so the question of the week this week is really about the current pandemic and the times that we are living in. And so how have you been able to maintain your sanity during this time?
How have I been able to maintain my sanity during this time? I would say the current situation is really unfortunate with the virus and people losing their lives. And I will say in the beginning, especially in the work that I do and starting to realize how this was going to affect people and affect people for much longer than expected, not just right now while we're in the house, but also too as the economic situation continues to spiral down. This is going to affect people for years to come, possibly. And I think when I came to that realization originally, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm very empathetic and I feel for other people and I feel for a lot of folks who are marginalized and going through crazy things in this country. So that was something that really was taking me down at first. But after a lot of deep prayer and just working a lot, I've been working a lot during this COVID-19 pandemic. Right. And coming to the realization of where I feel like I could do my best work. After that, I really have enjoyed the rest. I don't think I realized how much I needed this rest. I've been on the go. I commute when I'm usually working in the office. I commute 2 hours each way to work every day. So I'm commuting, I'm going to events. I'm always on the go on the weekends. So this rest has been on another level for me and just allowing myself to rest, right? I think a lot of times we feel like we have to do something. We have to be changing the world or doing something amazing or crazy. Or if I'm sitting still, it's a problem. But no, sometimes stillness is necessary.
Yes, yes, I agree.
Yes, I needed this.
So question number three, what are you reading, watching, or consuming these days?
Good. Reading. What am I reading? I'm always reading like two books at a time. Let me look on my Kindle app.
You're a Kindle girl. I like a Kindle real hardback paper book.
Really? Oh my, I will lose it. I will literally lose it. While I'm looking, one thing that I was reading that was really good, because I'm working on opening myself up to date, is this book called The Black Girl's Guide to Being Blissfully Feminine. Oh. Yeah, some people would think like, oh, some of the ideas in the book are antiquated, but it really was an amazing book to start thinking about how to be more feminine, how to embrace being feminine. I think sometimes in the work world, it's like emotions and vulnerability and all those things are pushed to the side so that we can get a lot of work done. But realizing that as a woman, that's our superpower, right? Yeah. Being emotional, vulnerable, sharing our feelings and things of that nature. And sometimes from our history in this country, just as Black women, it's been difficult for us to do that, right? We have time. We've always had to work.
Right.
Put everything on our back. So making the space to be feminine, and that's one of the books that I'm reading now. But what I've been watching are sermons galore. I'm really, really into Dr. Miles Monroe right now.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
I love him. Yes, yeah. God rest his soul.
Yes, wish he was still alive, because he would have a lot to say about what's going on. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. I was just watching a couple weeks ago his sermon on surviving a crisis, and it was literally like, oh my gosh, is he talking about right now?
Right. I have to find that one. I don't think
gosh, I was like, whoa, everything he is saying is on point for today.
Wow.
Probably 15 years ago that he preached that sermon. So unbelievable.
Wow.
And I'm also watching a lot of Ron Carpenter, Pastor Ron Carpenter.
Okay.
He is thebomb.com as well. And that's
You familiar with Stephen Furtick?
Yes, I am. Yes. I used to go see him all the time when I lived in Charlotte. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I love me some Pastor Stephen. Of course, I'm a Joyce Myers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a T.D. Jakes.
Yeah.
What is this book? This is going to be a really interesting book. This is an old book, but it's by Hiram Smith. 10 Natural Laws of Successful Time and Life Management.
Oh, yes.
I will text you this information.
Yes, please.
It'll definitely be some conversation starter between you and your girls.
Yes.
Because it talks about your belief window.
Mm.
And how we walk around, everyone has a belief window, and we interact with people and behave in a certain way based on our belief window, and that we can change what we have in our belief window.
Wow.
So interesting. You wouldn't think you would get that out of a time management and life.
Yeah.
So that was really
no. I love that. That reminds me of another book that I've been reading this book for like the last 2 years, but I feel like every time I pick it back up, it's like, Intentional Thinking by Dale East.
Okay. Oh
my gosh, so good. The book really goes in depth about being in the present and bringing your mind to the present and being able to control your thinking and thinking in a manner of positive. And a lot of people waste a lot of time thinking and allowing their thoughts to go different places and go into doubt. And if you remain in doubt, that you'll never really get anything done. And it's a continuous cycle. So that book is really, really good.
Intentional Thinking by Dale East.
Yep. Intentional Thinking by Dale East.
Okay.
And then another book I always go back to, The Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin. My God. Woo! Want to know about the power of God and, you know, healing and, you know, all those things. Oh my, that book changed my life.
Right. I've heard of that one. Yes, ma'am. Okay. So we're right in the same zone. And that was one of the things that a girlfriend of mine, we were talking about how sometimes you may need to pivot those that are in your inner circle for, you know, if your friends are not forward thinking, if they're not reading, if they're not trying to feed themselves, they might not need to be in that inner circle. They might need to be on the peripheral because we want to be able to push and encourage each other and share resources like this. That's really going to, you know, take you to the next level. So thank you for sharing those. I definitely took a couple notes.
Yeah.
So question number 4 is kind of going back to some of the medical things. What have you learned about yourself while you were going through your challenges?
I would say that I learned about myself in that time, which probably has propelled me to do the work that I am doing now, that I am the ultimate advocate, even for myself. Okay. I am the ultimate advocate. I'm sure you can attest to when I was a child, I was loudmouthed, talkative, going to talk back if necessary. If I didn't think something was right, nope, this is not acceptable. And I think during that time, I really realized that I was an advocate when I was advocating for myself in that hospital when it was a life or death situation. I've taken that and been able to do it not only for myself, but really bridge the gap for other folks to be able to do it as well. Because when you are going through something personally and you're personally committed and invested and your life depends on it,
right,
you advocate for something differently than some other folks who may just, you know, be just, you know,
passively
spirit or something, you know. But if you're really committed and in it and your life depends on it, things are different. So that's why I always advocate for people being able to advocate for themselves. Right. Wow. So that has definitely aided in my work today.
Okay. Awesome. So question number 5, again, kind of leaning back on that original line of questioning, what kind of supports did you receive from your family and friends when you were going through your challenges?
Yes, I received a lot of support because at the time I was moving into a new apartment. So my friends had to pack all of my things from my old apartment. They are the best, literally. They packed all of my clothes, everything, and moved it from one apartment to the next. They helped me out. My family, I mean, my mom stayed with me in my new apartment for weeks And then she brought me home to Peoria and took care of me and made sure that I was doing okay. Would come in the middle of the night and check on me, make sure I was breathing, telling me not to go out when I shouldn't have. I don't know why I thought it was okay to go out at that time.
You was back in town. You was like, yeah. I'm back.
If you were like, oh, okay, we about to go out. Right. In the house. I should have listened to my mother, but you know, didn't know any better. Still trying to go out and do things. And so, my family was really, truly supportive. Made sure I had everything that I needed. Helped me that summer to be able to go and buy a car. That was my first car I bought on my own. And helped me pick out the one that I could get because I couldn't walk anymore. You know, D.C. is a walking city, so I couldn't walk long distances anymore. So I needed a car at that point. So, yeah, they helped me out for sure.
Oh, most definitely. They really came through. The reason that I like to have that question in there is because a lot of times people want to help you, but they don't know how. Mm-hmm. And so you had some specific needs that you needed immediately to be able to, you know, you were in transition of moving. But then the residual effect was that you were not going to be able to walk long distances. So you really did have to make a large purchase. But, you know, I always like to add that one as ways for people to share tangible ways that other people help them. So when they have a family member or a friend who's sick, they can come with some ideas of how they can be there to be supportive to them.
Absolutely.
So question number 6, do you have any words of wisdom for anyone that might be going through something similar? So like, you know, with the blood clots, that is becoming a little bit more common, especially for our young people who are jet setters and you're traveling and, you know, you're getting up in the airplane and running to Miami and coming back and then you're in Chicago, you live in life. But we, you know, in your case, it was because of the birth control, but I've also heard it from other people from their travels and flying. Yeah.
I would definitely say, especially for someone being young, we think that we are so, that we'll live forever. And we don't realize that your body shows you signs. And listen to your body, right? Your body, be in tune with it. Don't be afraid to go to the doctor. If you feel like something is off and something is abnormal from the last checkup that you had, really be sure to go and check on it. And then if you need to get a second opinion, feel free. One thing that I always do whenever I'm going to the emergency room, I take someone with me.
Right.
I always take someone with me. And that is the difference between life and death sometimes, because oftentimes you need someone else there to advocate for you. And blood clots are really a silent killer. Like I said, one of my really, really great friends passed away at 19 years old, had no signs whatsoever beforehand. And African Americans, we actually have a higher chance of getting blood clots due to some certain clotting factors. And they run in my family on my father's side as well. There are multiple people on my father's side who have had blood clots or passed away from blood clots. So it's something to really look out for. If you have any shortness of breath, please go to the hospital. If you have any chest pain or back pain, like right in between your shoulder blades, absolutely go get that checked out. If you have pain or swelling in your legs, and when you're on a plane, if you're jet setting, walk, drink water, get up and walk around, stretch your toes, stretch your legs. Don't be afraid that if you're feeling a little pain, oh my gosh, I'm being a hypochondriac. No, you would rather go and get it checked out than to not, for sure. Because if I would have went to sleep like I wanted to, I probably would.
Wow. Yeah, that's definitely an eye opener. So last question number 7. What are your hopes for the future? What's next for you?
Yeah, so I would say my hopes for the future, specifically just in terms of thinking about healthcare for Black people, My hopes for the future are that we, one, have more Black people entering into the medical field in all aspects of the field, and two, that we actually begin to have doctors who listen to us, right? Not still believing the stereotypes that we have a higher threshold for pain, not still believing the stereotypes that we are exaggerating, or that we
are angry Black woman.
Yes, or that we're on drugs, right? Or something like that. And even if we are, we still should be listened to, right? Like, that shouldn't be an indicator for not listening to someone or allowing something to happen that you wouldn't therefore let happen to another race, right?
Right.
Having people listen to us more, and listen to us more, not only just in the health field, but in multiple other aspects of life. I really am, in the next phases of life, really working to advocate to make sure that we receive the policies and the assistance and things of that nature that we deserve, particularly talking about reparations, particularly speaking about making sure that our policies reflect the people who are receiving them, that they're not just reflecting one group of people, that it's reflecting all people, including making sure that folks have everything that they need and making sure that all policies are equitable. So that's what I'll be working on now and in the future, making sure that we begin to see a political space that looks more like our nation.
Right, right. Awesome. Well, I already knew the answer was going to be a powerful one. So do you have anything social media wise where people can connect with you? I know you have your podcast. So tell my audience about your podcast.
Yes, absolutely. So I have a podcast along with my best friend. It's called the Bougetto Podcast. So THEBOUJETTO podcast, the Bougetto Podcast. And we pretty much talk about everything you can think of concerning Black women and being a millennial. We have a wide array of listeners. So that's amazing. We have some folks who've reached out to us. We're like, oh my gosh, you enjoy our podcast? Wow, really? So we talk about God, we talk about, you know, education, we talk about politics, we talk about relationships and dating. We talk about an array of topics, and it gets very, very juicy. But we keep it godly, we keep it ratchet, we keep it everything.
I've listened to a couple episodes. I was like,
So we love to share ourselves, and you watch us grow throughout our episodes. Our opinions sometimes change, sometimes they stay the same, and we're growing as women. So yes.
So what platform can they find your podcast on?
Yes, they can find our platform we're on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Play, we are on SoundCloud, pretty much any area that you can find podcasts, we're there. Stitcher, we're on about 10 or 11 platforms.
And what social media handles do you give out for people to connect with you?
Yes, absolutely. So you can follow us at the Bougetto Podcast. So on Instagram, so at THEBOUJETTO podcast. And then also my handle for Instagram is at Miss Parker G. So at MissParkerG. And then on Twitter, my Twitter handle is at Parker Gilk. So PARKERGILK.
Okay. Thank you so much for being a part of my Rehab Your Life podcast. And hopefully I can have you come back and talk about some of the pressing topics, because, you know, we are on a mission for some social justice changes. And a lot of the things that you talked about, I would love to invite you to talk about continuing the advocacy process and some other opportunities that I have coming up. So thank you so much for your time this evening. Is there anything else that you would like to add for my audience to know about you, or just about your experience with the podcast today?
Thank you so much. First of all, I really am appreciative that you invited me to have this conversation and to really talk about my experience. I don't have much more to add, just really if anyone takes anything away from my story today, really, truly don't be afraid to advocate for yourself. That's the one that I would leave off with. Advocate for yourself. Doctors are not necessarily all knowing, and you know your body more than anyone else does.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This episode is sponsored by Healthy Visions of Beauty with Danielle Smith, a Mary Kay independent beauty consultant. Ladies, if you care about your skin, then you need a free skincare consultation from Danielle Smith to be sure that you have the products that you need to look your best. There is a product line for every skin type. If you have sensitive skin, she's got something for that. If you are all natural, there is a naturals line. If you just want to maintain your natural glow, there's an anti-aging line. And let me tell you about their lip scrub and the lip balm, baby. These lips are kissable and soft. Right now, for my customers, she is offering a free skincare consultation for local Houston area listeners. And for everyone, including the Houston area listeners, she's offering 25% off of any skincare line purchase. Check out her Facebook page at Healthy Visions of Beauty with Danielle Smith, or go to her website at www.marykay.com/Danielle Smith. And there, so you have it. I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Rehab Your Life podcast. Be sure to like, comment, and share this episode with your friends. Please subscribe to my podcast so that you can get the latest episodes. Also, check me out on Facebook and Instagram at Rehab Your Life and the number 2. I hope that you have a blessed week. Goodbye for now.